All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Dom and Colin podcast. I am Colin, here with you once again, talking about, frankly, what at this point is one of my favorite shows on TV. I'll just own it. Very happy anytime we get a chance to talk The Challenge. And joining me today is the usual crew. And I guess I always start by bringing in Ligori first, so today we'll mix it up. Today, joining us is, first of all, Scally, Brian Scally, back on The Challenge podcast. Scally, how are you doing?
I am great and very glad to be here with Danny Zuko and Raphael from the Ninja Turtles.
Are you supremely honored to finally be introduced first?
Oh, I am. I get top billing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think after the summer of Scally, that's the only appropriate way to start this podcast.
Well, you know, I've been waiting for it. I'm glad to see you finally recognized.
Yeah, it took me a while, but I finally got to that point where I've seen the light. And joining me, also part of the regular crew, but at this point, the clear number two out of it, just to be very clear about how things are stacking up around here. No, I kid completely. Always thrilled to talk to Matt Ligori. Matt, how are you doing?
I haven't even done anything yet, and I'm already being thrown under the bus harder than, like, everyone. Anyway, so, but yeah, good. Very happy to be here. You guys know how badly I've been wanting to talk about this, because the season has been so good. And I'm glad to hear that you're still enjoying it based off, you know, the way you just opened the show, because we didn't get to see you last week, and Scally and I got to, you know, talk all about this stuff. And I'm very happy to hear that you're still enjoying it as much as I am, because this season has been so much fun to watch every step of the way. I'm loving everything about the format, about the players. I think, you know, it's really hard to find flaws in this season. Like, you know, maybe here or there, there's been things that it's like, oh, that's annoying, but I've been having a great time watching it, so I'm so excited that we're finally getting a chance to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely on board with that. I've been really enjoying it. The cast is definitely delivering, and I think The Challenge is an easy show for me to just kind of sit back and be willing to accept whatever they give me, but I don't always necessarily like all of the twists that they go with. But this season, I would say still to this point, my only real complaint would be it seems like it's going a little slow. It seems like we've been here for a while, and there are still a lot of teams left. But we'll get to that, I'm sure, over the course of this podcast. And there are going to be a lot of things that we get to over the course of this podcast, because, guys, it's been a little while since we've been in here talking about The Challenge. We were just off air trying to figure out what had gone on the last time that we had spoken on air about this show. And I think we were either just about to or had just lost CT and Veronica. Ligori, where did we land on that?
I just want to say, the last time that we podcasted about The Challenge, you and Dom still podcasted together. It's been a long time. So what do you mean? Where did we land on CT?
Where did we leave off last time we talked to people?
Pretty much it was right after CT and Veronica had gotten eliminated. So they went to Redemption House, and they were in there with Paulie and Natalie, who had just lost the first Redemption Challenge to Devon and Jose. And, you know, we still had a couple teams that are going to join them there. So, you know, we don't have to talk about every single thing that happens at that point. But that's where we left off.
All right. And thankfully, as much as I have been enjoying the season, I don't spend a lot of time, like, thinking about all of these things that happened weeks ago, but Matt Ligori has kindly made me a list of topics to make sure I don't forget to bring up over the course of this podcast. So hopefully that should serve as something of a guide. And at the end of the show, we can check back in with that list and just make sure we didn't miss anything too meaningful. But I'm guessing there will be plot points along the way that we don't necessarily hit on, and apologies for that. But as I've said, there's definitely a lot to dive in on here, and so I guess let's start back over with Scally again, and let's get into, I think, the most pertinent thing to get into, based on where we left off last time, is taking it back to that second elimination challenge between with the double cross. What are those called? Not the redemption challenge, where we got the one of the Big Brother teams returning back to the house after facing off against each other in there. If we can rewind all the way, I don't even remember enough about this point in the game to set it up adequately. But what makes sense, Scally, as like a diving in point for right around where we left off?
I mean, if you want to go back to the second redemption challenge, I would say going back to just Devon and Jose happening to pick that double cross again and giving us the, you know, Big Brother showdown for the second time in a row. Normally, would I be like super excited to see Jose come back again? Not necessarily, But I think that, you know, having the Big Brother teams there brings the most drama out of anyone that was available. I mean, what were we losing with Derek and Tori and Faith and Angela so much? So them coming back into the house was, you know, at least decently exciting. It brought up someone to go against the giant alliance.
Yeah, this time in the game was a lot of fun because it was like, you know, I feel like nobody was really, you know, making the big moves yet. So it was just kind of, it was kind of good to see the weaker teams all getting out at the same time. And it's earlier than you remember, but we already had a taste of mercenaries at this point because Angela and Faith taken out of the game by our first set of mercenaries, which were, of course, Hunter and Ashley. So before, you know, we even got to this, we did see our first taste of those guys. And that's how, you know, we had these two dominant players of winner Ashley Mitchell of a season of the challenge and Hunter, who is a beast of a competitor, taking out, you know, these two rookies, Angela and Faith. I mean, Angela and Faith put up a decent fight in that nation where they were punching through the walls and they had, you know, they were attached by all that. It was a little bit of slack and whatever it was, but Ashley came back in and that was that's pretty much where we were.
So, quick behind the scenes, Liguori's connection was just cutting out a little bit there, and we just quickly, he dropped the call to restart his internet. It sounds a lot better now, so hopefully that will not be an issue going forward, and now we can resume the podcast. And I'm going to resume, actually, by first apologizing for Liguori, and then immediately throwing him under the bus, because while he did a great job preparing these notes for me, the top of the list was the redemption battle, and then later on, and the whole thing is sorted like chronologically, and then further down is the mercenaries returning. But that's on me for not preparing this more adequately ahead of time as well, I suppose. So Liguori, there you go, just getting bust immediately, but I know the people who listen to this podcast live for that kind of drama. But I guess let's get into the mercenaries. Scally, what did you think? Obviously, this was something we knew was going to happen at some point down the line this season, since before it even began. But let's begin with Ashley and Hunter and seeing them finally enter the game.
So in terms of the mercenaries twist, I actually like having them come in to join the game. I don't like where, let's say on Vendettas, where people came in, they're fresh, they have really no stakes in the game. I think especially in the second time the mercenaries came in Vendettas, you saw that they didn't care as much if they won. They were there for the free trip and the money. So them having actual stakes in the game is exciting. I wish it happened probably a little earlier in the season, but, you know, it is what it is. In terms of Ashley and Hunter individually, I was really impressed with Angela and Faith in that they seemed to be way ahead of Ashley and Hunter, and Ashley kind of gassed out. But, I mean, Ashley, you know, thought to use her head and headbutt herself through the wall, so good for her.
Yeah, didn't one of them, like, break their hand or something, come close to that? And that?
Yeah, Faith messed up her hand pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. Liguori, what did you think of Ashley and Hunter and having this mercenary twist in play this season now that we've actually seen how it's playing out?
I mean, I do like I think it's maybe just the fact that I like the people who came back in. Yeah, I mean, we'll start just with the first one, obviously, but I really have a hard time not liking Ashley. I feel like she always brings a lot to the show. She can, I mean, there's so many moments where I'm like, I find myself in her corner and then like she'll give up in a challenge or, you know, Dirty 30 or Vendettas, whichever one it was, where she went out like first because she was just like, yeah, I really don't want to be here. Like, then it's like, oh, that's annoying. But I like having Ashley on our screens. And Hunter is a hell of a competitor. So it's hard not to enjoy seeing him in the house. And like I was trying to say before when my connection was all crappy, Angela and Faith put up a fight here. I think that they did show that they, you know, kind of they, you know, maybe not Ashley and Hunter they can take on, but they can hang with the best of them. They put up a good effort here. So it's unfortunate that they did not really get a chance to show what they were made of, because, you know, then next thing you know, we're going to end up at Redemption House and they're not going to get picked for the double cross or anything like that. So they kind of go out quietly. But I do think we'll see them again in the future. And like I said, I'm happy that, you know, if we're going to have mercenaries, at least we got Ashley back in the house.
Yeah, totally. Like, first of all, I'm totally with you that Faith and Angela really impressed me, much more so than I was expecting. And for me, as far as the mercenaries go, I know I've used this comparison before, but I really view the challenge as I would imagine the same way I would view like professional wrestling if I watched professional wrestling, where to me, this season is essentially like the equivalent of Tony and Bananas are fighting against Brad and Kyle for the tag team championship, and then at the last second, Corey and Devin come running into the ring and beat them over the head with a chair when the ref's not looking, and then pin them, and they somehow get the belts even though they're not even involved in the fight in the first place. I have no issue with that on the challenge. I'm sure ranting my face off if something like this happened on Survivor or whatever, because Survivor is very serious business, as everyone knows. but on the challenge, I have absolutely no problem with this kind of thing happening, especially when it's people I love as much as particularly Devin and Smashley.
And the thing is that, like, I immediately, you know, my first thought when I see, you know, skipping ahead to Devin and Corey coming back in, I'm like, well, this is kind of annoying. Like, I get that they have to win, you know, Armageddons to get back in the house. That's fine. But you also have to remember that they are, like, extremely well rested going against these two teams who have been, you know, going through the ringer with all these different competitions in and out of every single week. So, you know, they're obviously a lot more prepared to do well in these. But then it's like, all right, well, I might be annoyed about the fact that they're coming in this late in the game, but we get to this first, you know, week that they're in the house and they're eligible to go in, and, you know, they have allies in the house, and the allies don't seem to give a crap that they're coming in this late. They're like, all right, well, this is just another number for our side. So if they don't care enough to, like, immediately target the two of them and try to get them out of the house and say, like, we've been here this entire time, you're not going to just come in and take our money, then, you know, if they don't care, then what am I to do and start caring about it, you know?
Yeah. Scally, how did you think that the rest of the house reacting impacted things? Like, obviously, we'll get into Ashley, like, the political ramifications of Ashley and Hunter and Corey and Devin coming in, and kind of the resurgence of the Lavender Ladies and the Young Bucks. But were you surprised by no one seeming to call foul about them coming in so late compared to everyone else?
I mean, I'm sure that Bananas, Tony, and Cara Maria weren't thrilled to see them coming in so late, but I think just the fact that their alliance was already the majority alliance in the house, they seemed totally fine with, you know, having another number come in on their side, especially when you have someone like, you know, a team like Bananas and Tony there still to rival against, they get to rally around, then I don't see them ever, you know, being upset about having another ally team in the house right now.
Yeah, I remember the first time around, Bananas was like bitching to Tony, or excuse me, Banana was bitching to TJ, not Tony, about Hunter and Ashley coming in so late, and TJ was like, well, hey man, this is when you guys came in Invasion of the Champions, everything's fair. And then the second time around, I would imagine at least a week or so later, in real game time, at least if not a couple weeks later, that Corey and Devin are coming in, and it seems like Bananas has just given up.
Yeah, what does he really have to say at this point? It's not like they're going to take them back out. Like, if he has any issue with it, then I'm sure he can bring it up after the season, but there's nothing he can do now to change it. And it's like, who out of the entire cast has a right to complain about, you know, being a production, you know, getting help from production along the way, other than Johnny Bananas? You know, you want to speculate as much as you want. I don't think he has anything to really stand on there.
It's an interesting kind of, like, double checkmate between Bananas and production, because on one hand, I think they are still at the point where they want him on every single season, and he knows that. But on the other hand, when he has any kind of issue with production, which now it seems like is becoming more of a thing than ever had been the case before, they can honestly say, like, what are you going to do, walk? Like, this is your career.
I mean, he's got his new show, so I guess maybe that's not so much the case anymore. I did read somewhere. I read somewhere that he had a contract for, like, this season and next season anyway, so it doesn't really matter. You know, he's going to be back next season anyway.
What a shock. And I was watching SNL either last week or the week before, and the Bananas show came on afterwards, and it was very – I had it, like, my TV on mute, and I looked up at my screen, and there was Johnny Bananas in, like, Alaska.
Yeah, first look. Well, watch it right after SNL every week.
It's hey, he's got a very solid TV presence. I know that's breaking news.
Right.
Yeah. So what more on before we get into LaGuardia? Anything before that first or second, redemption challenge where we have another battle of the Big Brother players?
It was just kind of weird, I guess, to see CT going out so early in a challenge. It wasn't his fault. He had Veronica with him, which was always going to really drag him down. I remember when we did the draft, we were all like looking at the board and it's like, wow, CT is still available, but there's a reason CT is still available so late into a draft, you know, when he has Veronica by his side. It was kind of cute that he was, you know, trying to, work it over on Jose when Jose was like pulling the, when Jose and Davon won the double cross and, you know, they didn't pick immediately. And CT's like, hey, Jose, like, so what's your type? Like, it was cute to see a few, final moments of CT before we lost him. You know, I don't know what his future with these shows is. I would assume that he'll keep coming back, but, you know, it's sad to see him go out so early.
Well, let me ask you, Scally, I suppose, what do you think about CT's future on these shows? Because I think one of the themes that we'll see play out, and I'm sure we'll talk about as we like forecast this endgame, is it really looks like Bananas is running out of friends in this house, and more generally just running out of people who are automatic Bananas stands at the start of these seasons. And I'm wondering if you think the same issue could be something CT might run into if he does decide that doing more challenges is something he wants to keep pursuing, like having so many of the old guard now seemingly out of the game and having this new generation of Lavender Ladies and Young Bucks that seem to be forming pretty deep alliances from season to season now.
CT is the rare competitor where I kind of feel like he could decide, oh, I want to take 5 seasons off, and then just show back up and they'd have no problem putting him on the show. I feel like CT definitely has a couple more seasons left in him. I don't know how long that's going to last exactly, but I don't see them saying no when he eventually decides to show back up.
Maybe the move for CT is to take a few seasons off and then go back and try to get the like late career Mark Long treatment where everyone just lets him get to the finals for like old time's sake.
I don't think it's a bad move.
He's like a chameleon. I feel like he can blend in with anyone. And despite the fact that he might always be in Bananas' corner at this point, you know, he's just such a lovable guy that I feel like nobody's ever actively targeting him. They don't look at him as big of a threat as they're looking at Bananas as. So I feel like he's always going to be in this sweet spot. And I mean, you know, we'll get to it later, talking about some of the rumors for the 33 cast that's going to be filming soon. But there's a couple names on there that are some old schoolers. So, you know, I don't know if CT is going to be there or not, but it's not like the older names are out forever. It just seems like as they were coming to the conclusion of this trilogy, they were, you know, bringing in some of the same people who have been on the season. So I think CT's still good.
Okay. And so I guess we also at this elimination lost Derek and Tori went out here, Angela and Faith, CT and Veronica, and then Davon and Jose were the ones who won it, right? Or they pulled the double cross and bring Natalie and Polly and then beat them.
Yeah, they brought – yes, yeah. And Davon and Jose won their second elimination of the season, which we all totally saw coming.
Yeah.
You know, back when we found out Jose and Davon were on the challenge.
I mean, it still doesn't seem real to me having specifically Jose on the challenge. Davon, I more understand because I saw both of her seasons of Big Brother, the idea of wanting – you know, network executives wanting more Davon on their channel makes sense to me. Jose even being in consideration ever to be on the challenge blows my mind, let alone actually seeing him out here still alive with some challenge wins under his belt at the halfway point is crazy.
Right. I mean, they've kind of been struggling for like a while now with their gay casting. You know, they had Shane, you know, got into fights and he hit a girl and it was like, all right, well, this isn't a good way to go with it. So it's like they're trying to find somebody who's not problematic because, you know, they can't have more than like 2 a season. So they, you know, they have Shane here and I don't know, I guess Jose's not causing any problems. He's good with the confessionals and I don't know, I guess he's bringing the at least the minimum level of drama that they're looking for in a cast member. So I think that they do like him. I know that he was, you know, we're not really talking about X on the Beach here, but he just made it onto the next X on the Beach season as well. Totally chance that he could come back in the next challenge. So it's, you know, good for Jose. Who would have seen it coming back then?
Jose saw it coming. Jose, I remember entering the Big Brother house was saying like, look, this time next year, I'm going to be hosting the Emmys. And he may have been off by a few years, but I don't think it's impossible at this point. It seems like Jose is failing upwards constantly, so why not?
Yeah, he wanted to make his own show. He was telling us all about it at the Big Brother Live show last summer. And there was a fun moment too that I don't want to, you know, skip over before we lose all these, the rest of these guys. When they have like a reading challenge in the middle of a redemption, mm-hmm. Like right before, not redemption, before they get to the, Armageddon. I know, Colin, you're a big, Drag Race fan and you've seen so many seasons of it.
I did get the reference, just for the record. I do know what the reading challenge is.
Right. Yeah, they opened up the library. Shane had to explain it to the 99% of Challenge fans who probably have no idea what it meant. And then, you know, we had Angela going off, and Bananas is like, yeah, she's been keeping her cool for a while. But this isn't surprising to see, you know, the Bad Girls Club member, you know, going off on everybody. But that was a lot of fun, too. That was one of the highlights of the first, you know, this middle stretch of episodes.
And was the drama between Kyle and Polly at this one or the one before this or the one after this? I lose track.
That was at the one before. This one was where we saw Natalie and Cam start to go after each other, which, you know, is they were setting up a pretty good spot for when Cam was going to soon come into the Redemption House.
Okay. And so, yeah, we have now Devon and Jose returning to the game, and so we go from there. If I'm not skipping over anything, we have a purge challenge next, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and this is where this was probably the low point of the season for me, losing Killa Cam and Kaylee. Scally, what did you think about having this purge challenge and the way this played out?
I'm not really a fan of the purge challenges. I just don't get why the challenge feels the need to, you know, stretch out into one elimination round into seven episodes and then just cut someone in the first 10 minutes of the next. So I don't love the purge challenges. But at the same time, I am also not a fan of Kaylee. So this was probably my ideal scenario here to see them go out. I mean, they, like Matt said, they also set up the Cam and Natalie drama for the Redemption House. So I was not upset about who ended up leaving here.
Yeah. I mean, I do get into the drama in the Redemption House, which is frankly something I was not anticipating. I've never really found myself too invested in the Redemption House, but actually this season, I feel like that's something that's been really delivering beyond what I was anticipating.
Yeah, we've had like highlights before where, you know, Dirty 30, Jordan is in the Redemption House with Kara, and Kara puts a suitcase in the pool, and it's like, all right, at least they're giving us something, but it still doesn't feel like you're on the edge of your seat, like trying to see, you know, what's going to happen next. And when Cam and Kaylee get to Redemption and we finally get Kaylee and Natalie in the same room for the first time since the big outing that happened before the season, you know, if anybody forgot, Kaylee went on her Instagram and she decided to out Natalie for her sexuality. And, you know, Natalie hadn't said anything about it up to this point. So it was, you know, a full on not good situation in any way. So this is the first time that we get them back together. And, you know, Kaylee's going to bring up the whole, well, you were part of my suitcase being thrown over the balcony thing, which is like, you know, it's like, all right, well, you threw my suitcase over the balcony, so I outed your sexuality on social media for everybody to see. Makes sense, right? Seems fair. So this is where we finally discover that, you know, Scally's been right all along, that Kaylee is just an awful garbage human being.
Yeah. When I said I was very upset about losing Cam and Kaylee, it was mostly the Cam portion of that equation that I was upset about losing. For sure. The record, I just was I've always been a Cam fan, and she is of course the team captain of my fantasy team, so that was more why I was upset.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Cam's a great competitor. I anticipate we'll see her plenty of times in the future, but hopefully, you know, going forward, she doesn't have this, you know, awful person attached to her side.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm with that, and I think frankly, obviously this is not going to be the one, but I think Cam, is next in line to be like that Laurel Kara, like staple figurehead favorite to win whatever challenge she's a part of.
For sure.
Yeah. Scal, any parting thoughts from you on Cam in particular, or any calls for, looking forward to seeing her in the future?
Oh, I'm definitely excited to see Cam back. I know she'll be back. I mean, I think you said the same thing about Jenna and Kayla, and they're not really anywhere to be seen right now. But I do think Cam has a bright future moving forward.
I think I was looking forward to them being like characters that were going to be recurring. But I think Cam is going to be the one winning and beating the Jennas and Kaylas for a long time to come.
All right, I'll let you have that one.
All right, thank you.
like my problem is just if they decide to keep bringing Kaylee back, because it's, I feel like with Kaylee, we're kind of heading towards a very similar route that we might have been heading towards with Camilla back, like, you know, when it was like, all right, we're seeing signs from Camilla that she's, you know, not great. I think Allie Lasher pointed this out. I think that's why I have the thought in my head on Allie and Brian's podcast about how, you know, I don't know if she was talking about Kaylee, but it's like when we saw the signs that Camilla was going to be a problem, but we still kept having her back. And now Kaylee's sitting here saying like, yeah, I outed you and I would do it again. It's like this person can't possibly be allowed back in the show, right? But right. I wouldn't be surprised if she is.
I mean, they brought Colton back on Survivor after some pretty outlandish behavior his first time.
True.
And this is MTV.
All right, so I guess Colton and Kaylee are going to be the next team.
Actually, that's like where this is all heading. Now, if you thought Jose was a mind-blowing choice, Colton is going to be on the Challenge 33.
Wow, what a world.
Yeah, I got the spoilers early. Yeah, all right, so I'm definitely with that. I would be very fine with not having Kaylee back on any future challenges. So there they go. We next have Bananas and Tony winning the main challenge, and they send in Nelson and Shane. And this is where Nelson and Shane decide they want to make a big power move and call out Brad and Kyle. Scally, I know I assigned you essentially Brad and Kyle like team captain status for you, even though Kyle wasn't on your team this time. What did you think of seeing Brad and Kyle sent to the Redemption House this soon?
I thought it was a really ballsy move for Nelson and Shane to call him out. I mean, Nelson's elimination record speaks for itself. I definitely was rooting for Brad and Kyle as not the biggest Shane fan. But, I mean, good for them. They took him out. I think you're, 85, 90% win equity between the two teams. Might have dropped a little bit there. But it was what it was, you know.
All right. In retrospect, 40% may have been a more safe number than I was giving it credit for in the moment. But listen, it's all about in the moment, Scally. No, history never looks back on anyone negatively. That's what I've learned when watching the challenge. All right. Awesome. Liguori, I guess, what did you think of Brad and Kyle being gone and Nelson and Shane calling them out?
We'll see. All right. So I feel like eventually we have to get to Shane and Nelson because I anticipated that they might be a factor in this season. Like they might do well, but it was so hard to tell with these two because it's like Nelson's a beast of a competitor and Shane's got the social game down. But since Shane is still part of the equation and he's so good at making enemies, it's like you kind of can't be surprised that he got called in. You know that Tony and Bananas are going after him so much that I mean, the Shane and Davon stuff earlier in the season, I don't know if it was before or after this, but when the two of them are blowing up on each other and Shane saying some crappy stuff to Davon, it's like, all right, well, on the bright side, we're finally getting Shane as a character. You know, he's been on a couple seasons now, being back since, you know, he was back in the early days. And he's finally giving us something. Like, he's finally like an active participant in the drama. He's been one of the most, like, the biggest confessional givers the entire season. You know, when you don't have Jemmy in the house, you don't have Tori in the house, it's like, all right, well, who are we going to? They seem to have latched on to Shane pretty strongly here.
Yeah.
So I'm really, like I was so, and I don't know, I was so annoyed when he was getting into the, you know, the squirrels. What the hell is that word? Squirrels?
Getting into the
hell
what?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that a word? Squirrels?
A fight is squirrel. A quarrel.
Quarrels. He said squirrels.
Squirrels are an animal with big bushy tails.
I said squirrels. when Shane and Davon squirrels. Sorry. please don't edit that out. Anyway, that wasn't pretty for Shane. That wasn't a good look, but you know, he made the big move here. He took Brad and Kyle, who I was looking at like, all right, these two are getting to the final. Like, there's no one stopping them, no one getting in their way. Even if they get called in, they're going to easily take out whoever, you know, whoever they come up against. But this Redemption, I keep saying Redemption, this Armageddon challenge was pretty fun. I think that it was a very creative challenge from whoever designed this one. And, you know, it gave somebody not named Brad and Kyle a chance to do well, and they obviously took them out.
Yeah. I loved seeing it play out in the moment, even though it did take, you know, my 90% win call probably took a hit. I completely forgot about that, but thank you for the embarrassing reminder, Scally. But I was very much excited to see all of that go down. And just more generally on Shane, I agree with you that he's bringing the drama, but in particular that fight with Dave Vaughn, and then also who was it this week? I think it was Sylvia and Marie, it must have been on this most recent episode. Those were the two standout contenders for me for fake fight of the season.
No. I can't agree with the Sylvia and Marie one. That one was
I agree that they were mad at each other. I agree Marie was very upset with Sylvia, but at each other's noses, I thought was a bit much. That to me seemed like playing it up for the cameras.
I don't know. I saw that, you know, Marie was kind of doing it on purpose to be, you know, antagonizing. And Marie even has, you know, I think I was listening to her on a podcast yesterday, and she was talking about how she knew she had nothing, you know, that she could have really done there. But what is she going to do, like roll over and die? So she was trying. She was pushing buttons a little bit. And I thought it was a little bit of, you know, fun on her part. And then Sylvia was getting like actually pissed off. So, you know, it was nice to see Sylvia finally get some screen time during the season, but I don't know. I thought that was real in Sylvia's end, at least.
Who's gotten less screen time, Scally, Joss or Sylvia?
I think it has to be Sylvia. I'm surprised even to be saying that someone could get less screen time than Joss, but he's had a couple of funny confessionals here and there, whereas I feel like Sylvia's had absolutely nothing until last night.
I feel like every single time Sylvia's on a season of The Challenge, no matter how deep she goes, she never really gets her full due as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I am able to tell. Like, I feel like every single challenge season preview, that we do, I'm always way too low on Sylvia, and you guys, come in here and defend her, and I always later recognize how right you were, and then feel increasingly more season after season, like they're showing too little of her.
See, whereas I feel like, oh, she always went home too early, she didn't have a chance to show everything, and now I feel like she has a chance to show everything, and we're not really seeing that much. I don't know if maybe I was too high on Sylvia coming into the season.
So you don't necessarily even want more Sylvia, you're saying?
I mean, she's fine. I feel like it's someone has to bring something to Sylvia in order for her to have a storyline.
She needs more story. Something to do. Because, like, you know, without interacting with, like, the Caras or a Banana, like, you know, a little fight with Marie is going to get you a little bit of screen time towards the end of the season, sure. But, like, without interacting with the big players, and obviously she's not, you know, she's not at the entertainment level of someone like Shane where she's going to get all of these extra confessionals. It's, like, hard to find screen time for her. So I don't know. I don't know if, again, we're talking about all these people that, you know, are they going to come back or not? I think that they could consistently bring her back when they need that extra spot filled. But I don't know. I felt good about her before the season, and now it's just kind of like, is she ever going to, you know, be a big player in the game, not just the character on the show?
Yeah, just to go back to it quickly to explain what I meant, the reason I called it a fake fight was purely because, I agree that the motivation was very real. I just thought the physical element, it really looked to me like Sylvia specifically was, like, acting, and that's why it resonated so hard, the same way that Shane screaming at Dave Vaughn really looked more like acting than the average fight does on The Challenge. Like, when you see when you see Kayla going at someone, you can tell she really means it, for earlier this season being a good example.
Yeah, I mean, Shane was obviously smirking during his argument, but he knows what's going on. He knows the cameras are on him. I just felt like Sylvia was, like, actually mad, and she was, like, I think she was really drunk. It sounded like they were saying, so I don't know. But either way, extremely entertaining.
Yeah, one thing I brought up a little bit in passing, but we haven't really hit on too hard this time around yet. Scally, what have you made of where we've headed with the Kyle and Pauly drama?
I feel like it's kind of fizzling out. I think that had they been in the main house for longer, they probably would have had more to do with that. But being that they're just sitting around the Redemption House, I feel like it gets a little stale. I think that they'll probably have drama going into future seasons, since both of them seem like they're going to be mainstays for a little while. But we'll see.
Yeah, I was very excited at the prospect of the two of them being reunited in the Redemption House, and then pretty let down by how all of that played out, but I guess not entirely surprised. LaGuardia, what did you think of that reunion?
It was, you know, I kind of was hoping that if the reunion was going to happen, it would happen in the main house. And that's what I would have figured because, you know, who would have thought that Paulie and Natalie would have lost to Jose and Devon? Who would have thought that Brad and Kyle would end up in the Redemption House so soon? So I figured that, you know, this reunion would happen while they were in the same house as Kara, with Kara in the middle and all that stuff. So a little disappointing that it ended up on this end where it's like, what are they going to do besides get into an argument once? Like, you know, they're not going to end up in the same redemption challenge, because which one of those teams are going to pick the other? I mean, they, if you're looking at the board right now of people that are in Redemption House, you would think that Brad and Kyle might actually want to pick Natalie and Paulie, because they are, they do seem like the weakest team right now. But when you're picking, I guess you kind of want to pick somebody who you're friendly with, so that, you know, at least one of you get back in the house. It's just, you know, it's a disappointment that we're not going to see Kyle and Paulie go head to head, at least in this season.
Is there any way that Brad and Kyle are going to get picked by someone, or do they need to pull the double cross to stay alive?
I don't know if, I mean, you know, looking at the board, it's like Devon and Jose are back in there. And plus, you know, they said at the end of the episode about how two teams are coming back in. So there's six teams that are going to be there. There's, we'll see.
Is the season run for 18 months?
We're going to end up with another purge at some point. So we're going to have six teams in there: Paulie and Natalie, Cam and Kaylee, Brad and Kyle, Zach and Amanda, Jose and Devon, and then whoever goes out this week. So I guess they're going to have two double crosses, and then four teams will go to the arena. Two teams will automatically go home. And I can't imagine we're going back to a Redemption House after this. So whoever loses those two eliminations will probably go home. So we'll lose like eight people, and then we'll, you know, have four go back in. I feel like there's worse trades, but yeah, I mean, it is a little ridiculous with the amount of people that keep coming back in. Sorry, but to answer your question, Brad and Kyle, I don't know. Are Zach and Amanda going to pick Brad and Kyle to go? Probably not. That's their, you know, I guess they do have to pick the double cross.
All right.
Yeah, I was gonna say, especially assuming that the Redemption House is done, I think picking your friends kind of goes out the window at that point. You want to pick who gives you the best shot of going in.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe Paulie and Natalie are going in.
Yeah, it's certainly a critical distinction at this point, now that it's, you know, loser goes home at this point instead of goes back to the Redemption House. So that'll be really interesting to see play out. And that will probably – is that going to be next week?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that'll
That's
be exciting.
What was in the preview.
I don't know. Do we have any way of making calls of who's going to come out? I guess it's entirely dependent, on the double cross. So I guess let's preview, who are the lock people to pick each other if they pull the double cross, if any combinations stand out to you, Scally?
I would say, I feel like at least one, if not both of these Big Brother teams are going to end up in the Redemption Challenge just by process of they'll probably pick each other. And there are probably two of the weaker teams left there. So even if someone else pulls the double cross, they're going to pick them. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we're going to see both Big Brother teams at least with a shot of getting back in the house. I think Brad and Kyle and Amanda and Zach probably have to pick it themselves in order to have a shot. But, you know, once they then pick it, they have a good shot of winning the Redemption Challenge to get back in.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah. Yeah, if we're looking forward into which of Cara, Maria, and Marie, and Nelson, and Shane end up in the Redemption Challenge, if, like, whoever goes home, I think either one of them could be – I think they probably fall more into the Brad and Kyle, Amanda and Zach, you know, field where they have to pick the double cross in order to end up
I can see Cara and Marie getting picked potentially by certain teams. But I don't see any way where Nelson and Shane are getting picked, especially given Nelson's previously mentioned 8-1. That stat blew my mind. Career elimination record. I mean, I certainly remember watching Nelson win plenty of eliminations, but 8-1 is like Laurel territory.
Yeah, at least to defend my draft team a little bit, I did pick Nelson second overall because it's, you know, every season that passes by and that stat just keeps getting better and better. He doesn't lose elimination, so it's so hard to bet against him.
Second round, fourth overall, for the record.
Second round, it was my – I was like the third pick, so I had to – no, yeah.
You went Carr third,
pick of the second
then Nelson
round.
fourth
yeah.
overall, not second overall.
My second overall pick.
Okay, fair. All right. So, yeah, that should be really interesting. Looking forward to seeing how that plays out. And for the I guess we'll talk about that. I guess now is as good a time as any. We don't know what the challenge is going to be, but any, are you rooting one way or another, I guess, for Kara, Team Kara or Team Nelson and Shane?
I'm always going to be Team Kara. So, I mean, I don't know how far she's going to be able to get into this game. You know, the scene this past week with Kara and Marie was one of, if not my favorite scene of the entire season. I don't know why it got to me. I don't know if it's just because I like Kara so much or if it's just because, you know, this, her side of the house between her and Marie and Bananas Bananas and Tony have been painted into this underdog role so heavily. So it's like, you know, these two that, you know, Marie's friends all turned on her and Kara's like comforting her and she's like, oh, like, it's okay, I'm still your friend. It was so sappy, but it was so like, I don't know, they got me.
Now that I think about it, I'm combining a thought I had earlier with something you just brought up, Ligori. Think about the world we now live in and like what you would have thought of this if someone had told you these words in the year 2017 or 2016, whenever Jose's Big Brother season was on, that in a couple years, Jose is going to be in a better spot on the challenge than Johnny Bananas, the classic underdog Johnny Bananas.
You're, like you said before, Jose saw this coming. We were the idiots who just laughed it off.
Yeah, it really is wild. And as far as who I would be rooting for between the Cara, Maria, and Marie team versus Nelson and Shane now in this upcoming challenge, I'm always going to be Team Cara myself as well. But I do think that the Young Bucks and Lavender Ladies just putting Bananas into a corner is a storyline that I'm going to be here for. Even if it means Bananas winning his way out of that and continuing to be safe week after week after week, I think that would be interesting too. But I am very interested in continuing to explore this timeline where Bananas in particular has his back up against the wall. And I think Nelson and Shane being there makes that a lot easier than Cara, who seems to be his only ally, frankly, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also need to point out that if Cara and Marie do go in this challenge, you know, there's obviously Redemption House around the corner, but that will leave two females left in the active game. Like, out of all the teams that are left, we're talking about there's so many teams left, two of the competitors left in the game will be women, Sylvia and Ashley will be the only ones remaining in the house.
Well, no one could have anticipated this with all of these gender-neutral challenges they've been running,
Ligori. Yeah. So, I mean, I think we talked about that in the last podcast. It really hasn't gotten a whole lot better when you look at the Corey and Devin two eliminations to get back in the game.
what a joke.
They're jumping on the rope. So, yeah. I mean, you know, exactly. Who could have seen this coming?
Right. That has been something that has been a theme, not even just this season for these challenge podcasts. That's something we've been talking about for a couple seasons now, at least at this point, is that kind of just mind-blowing gender imbalance in these challenges that they continue to say with a straight face, or at least, you know, continue to run with a straight face, these co-ed and woman-woman teams in these challenges that are so blatantly going to favor men. But I guess that's something kind of like these competitors entering the game so late that I guess the players themselves just aren't complaining enough about. I can't believe people aren't more upset when they walk up to these challenges. Like, what the hell do you expect to see happen? But I guess for whatever reason, we are where we are for one reason or another.
I think there's eight guys left in the house, if I'm counting right. So, you know, if Cara and Marie go home, there will be two of the females left and then eight males left.
Yeah, that's pretty not great. Not a great look for MTV, frankly, as far as I would be concerned. But it doesn't seem to bother them too much.
Yep. We totally like got on a tangent at some point and we kind of left Brad and Kyle behind. So I don't know if we wanted to like go back and, you know, eventually get to Zach and Amanda and all that.
Cause I think we left Scally behind a while ago, too.
I mean, I was just letting you guys have a conversation. I was enjoying it. I hope that everyone else was.
Well, because for more behind the scenes, Scally's working from home today. So we're, you know, going up against some work calls coming in. So every once in a while, I see that he's muted. And I'm like, I never know if he's actually here with us or not.
Yeah. Well, I'm anything else that either of you guys has on Brad and Kyle for the time being? We may be seeing more of them, but you know, this season. But I'm sure either way, we'll see more of those two on future seasons, even if they are gone next episode.
I mean, Kyle left his rings and his necklace behind, so that was touching.
Right? Yeah, good thing he doesn't have 17 rings. He's like Russell Hance on Australian Survivor. He's got so many. Who was it who made the joke about, like, oh, you should go see the one he left behind for Ashley?
Oh, I did not hear that. But
someone said to Kara as she was like so excited about this ring.
Was it bananas? Joked. Maybe I don't know.
It sounds like a banana.
Probably bananas. Yeah,
it must have been. Yeah, someone joked right. Like, you should go see the one he left for Ashley.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else on the show has that wit.
It was very strong. All right, and so I think we're good on them for now. Let's get into what I'm sure will be one of the biggest talking points of the entire season. Let's get into Amanda and Zach, who win this next main challenge, the Caged In Challenge, but cannot decide between putting Tony and Bananas or the one of the Lavender Ladies into the elimination once that vote comes back a tie. So Amanda and Zach end up going into an elimination themselves. Scally, did you think that this was going to be something that I certainly didn't think, I didn't know the tiebreaker rules or anything, but I couldn't imagine that we would ever actually see a team do this.
Yeah, this tiebreaker rule, I feel like it's been in place for the last couple pairs challenges. I don't think we ever thought it was going to happen. Right. I mean, it's the ideal scenario. It's what you want when you're pairing these people together. And I mean, we found the two people who are just hard-headed enough to actually make it happen.
Yeah, Liguori, what did you think when you saw this? Because I was just waiting. I assumed one of them will cave. I don't know who it's going to be, but they're not going to go in themselves.
It doesn't, like, it's something that you think, no, that won't happen. Like, they're not both that stupid. It doesn't seem like after all of these years of, you know, Zach competing on these shows, Amanda's relatively new, but she seems like she's integrated herself well into knowing what the game is like and how it works. It's like these two wouldn't do that. And then, you know, I guess more behind the scenes, like this all happened last week's episode when, you know, Scally and I were with everybody in New York all together. So we didn't get to watch the episode live. I wanted to know what happened. So I had to look on Twitter to find out the spoilers. And when I read this, I was like, no freaking way. Like, no way did these two just self-combust and it didn't happen. But when you watched it play out, it's like, all right, I guess this does make sense, because they are both so stubborn, so, you know, I don't know. I don't know who I think should have caved over the other, because it seemed like Zach was very adamant on proving this point. He was not about to let Amanda tell him what to do, and Amanda was standing her ground just as strongly. So it was pretty incredible that this is what it came to. But like I said, watching it play out, I wasn't surprised to see the two of them act this way.
I remember a few seasons ago, I certainly did know that if a pair disagreed and couldn't come to a decision, they would go to the elimination themselves, because I remember that being threatened upon. I think it was Bananas and someone else, but it might have been a different pair. But it was a situation before the private voting where they're sitting in the living room and TJ's there, and he was like, okay, power couple, you have to decide, or whatever the situation was, you guys have to come to a decision. And he gave them, like, okay, second chance now to come to an agreement, and they both still gave different names. And he's like, okay, third chance, and if you can't come to an agreement, you guys are going in. And it purely came down to which one of them he asked first, and then the other person, like, had to agree with that person, and they eventually did. And I don't remember what the circumstance was or who was agreeing with whom, but I just still cannot believe that someone would let when only first place is getting paid $1 million on the line, potentially slip out of their hands. Mm-hmm. Really, I think is incredible. But I think, as one of you guys flagged up, I think it just speaks to why this theme is so compelling, and having these rivals paired up against each other where they are that diametrically opposed that they're willing to fall on their own sword to make sure that their side continues to have as good of a chance as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and especially for it to happen to a team that was probably the front runner going into this final. I mean, they have won, I think it's 5 of the main challenges going into this week. And I mean, I think it really is only this team specifically that lets this happen. Zach is never, ever, ever giving in to, no matter who his partner is. And I think Amanda might give in to someone else, but given Zach's history of, you know, speaking about women, treating women on the show, I don't think she's ever giving in to Zach specifically. And so that's how we end up here.
Yeah, right before we Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I have the Wikipedia pulled up, and their stat line is win, safe, safe, win, safe, win, safe, safe, out. And that last out should be a win, but they decided not to to hold on to it.
Yes. When we were watching this episode last week, you know, I, like I said, I figured out the spoilers beforehand because I just needed to know what happened. But Scally and I sat down to watch the episode the following morning. And the first thing that Scally said when the episode started was, I just can't imagine like when Zach and Amanda are ever going to go out of this game. And obviously I kept quiet. But it was just great to see like his reaction as the episode went on, and they just completely, self-imploded on themselves. And you know,
that's a real Colin Stone moment. That's like a 90% win equity moment right there.
Oh, pretty much.
I mean, like we said, they were winning every challenge. They had alliances on both sides of the house. They should have had never, ever gone in, let alone lose an elimination. And here we are.
Yeah, they were definitely the favorite to win, especially with, you know, Brad and Kyle going out the week before. And, you know, you look around and it's like, all right, Bananas and Tony are still strong, but everyone's coming after them. It's like, who's in the safest spot with both sides right now? They're playing a hell of a game, winning all these challenges. There was just no reason for them to lose their spot in the game like this. But that's like you were just saying about having the theme of this season, having the Vendettas working together. It creates moments like teams, you know, blowing up like this. And then it also creates moments like Kara and Marie coming together. And it's like, all right, like, look at these two becoming friends. So I think that this theme has just been killing it. I think it's been great.
Yeah. And not that we've necessarily lost Zach and Amanda yet, but in the event that they don't pull the double cross and are not selected to participate by whomever does, heard it both ways. I want to just talk a little bit about these two and their future on the challenge. And I want to start with Zach because we saw him, I believe, last season make it to the finals and just lose the puzzle to Cara Maria. And that was the difference between first and second place. Mm-hmm. It did seem like he was in there doing really well in the challenges alongside Amanda, obviously, and doing well politically to the point that he had a team he was so strong with he was willing to go into an elimination himself. Which is all a roundabout way of me trying to get at, despite these Lavender Ladies and Young Bucks all having a really tight bond together, at least for the time being, I would frankly be saying the way things have been playing out for Johnny Bananas this season, going into next season, I don't know if it's crazy to say that Zach has become the new front runner to win the men's side of any given challenge.
I would say that's not a terrible call, but Zach has only won one season, and it was his first. I feel like he's come in every season, but said Zach's a powerhouse. He should be winning. And somehow he's just been screwing it up for himself over and over, and I don't know why that is.
Yeah, well, I mean, just one thing that you said in some podcast we did, Scally, that really resonated with me about Zach is, you know, as kind of low key or boring or low energy or whatever you want to say, generally uninteresting as we may find Zach on kind of like an entertainment level, or like if we were to, you know, imagine hanging out with Zach, I don't know how much there would be for us to talk about necessarily. But Scally, you said, but for whatever reason, the people that are in the house on these games find that personality type immensely likable. And I think that just is always going to be something going in Zach's favor, alongside obviously being fantastic in the challenges themselves. I really feel like Zach's going to be at least among the front runners anytime he's on for the foreseeable future.
I mean, this season he had, I would say, an advantage in the fact that Jenna went home early, an advantage for himself just because he wasn't distracted. He didn't have that extra target on his back. He was able to move so far into the game when all these challenges, like I said, just not having a distraction or the extra target on his back. And like Scally said, he just still managed to find a way to mess it up. So I agree that he's, you know, I don't know if I agree with your take, Colin. It's just like, it's so hard because it's Zach, and it's like he is in the right spot. He's in the spot that he wants to be, that we see is such a great spot for him, but it's Zach and he's going to mess it up every time.
Or in the event that he doesn't, he'll get to the finals and start cramping up, and that's just going to be
exactly
undoing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was
exactly.
Thank you.
how'd you miss that one?
I have no idea. But so yeah, there go Amanda and Zach for the time being in what I'm sure is going to be one of the biggest moments from this season. And I would be surprised if that does not become kind of a cautionary tale for people going forward, assuming they don't pull the double cross and like re-enter the game or whatever. If this is how Zach and Amanda leave, I would be very surprised if we see someone, another pair of people, end up deciding that that tiebreaker is something that's going to make sense for them anytime soon. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I want to ask you, because I asked Scally this, like, what's more unforgivable to you, the fact that Zach and Amanda did this to themselves, or Jordan flipping over the three cards and sending himself into an elimination against Bananas where he was, you know, ultimately taken out?
I would say, so to me, this is not even close. I would say that this is far more unforgivable, and I'll tell you why. What Jordan knows when he goes over and flips those three cards, I just bought myself another return shot on the challenge. Like, I have established myself as a true rival with Johnny Bananas, and that is going to pay dividends in major ways down the line for Jordan.
Yeah, very good point.
Yeah, I remember Scally saying the other way, though. That's one of the few episodes. I couldn't tell you what season that was, but that's one of the moments as a casual challenge fan that will never escape my memory is Jordan making that decision to flip over all the cards and take on Bananas.
Yeah. Scally, what was your opinion? I don't remember what you said.
I think my initial was just sticking with the Jordan call, but the more I've thought about it, I mean, Zach and Amanda were safe. They're going to be in the final six teams going in. Like, they're in a great spot. They're the front runners. I guess just by like sheer equity, I do have to change my answer to this one.
Right, because Jordan's going to flip the bad card anyway a certain percentage of the time, so he might as well just lock himself in for a couple more challenge appearances.
Yeah, and I think Zach had, or somebody had said about how Amanda had, you know, what you saw when Zach came down and he was about to enter the two of them, you know, on his own volition, like, we're going into the challenge. Amanda stayed there for a second because I guess maybe she was the one who was leaning more towards, all right, I'll give in, because I don't know. Zach wasn't going to change, but so I don't know. I feel like even if we do say that Zach and Amanda are the worst choice, I still think it ultimately boils down to Zach, who was the first person to step down. And, you know, Amanda wasn't budging, but Zach was not budging more, like 10 times more.
That's the move, though. Like, when you're in this situation, what you have to do is convince your partner you have no choice but to flip to my side. Not that I'm saying he was thinking on that level, but that is the correct tactic.
I mean, theoretically, sure, but when you know your partner is Amanda and she's not giving in once you make her look that dumb, it's not happening.
That's why Amanda, that's why it's such a clear move for both of them, and which is this is to get. Never mind. We don't need to get into the Nash equilibrium right now about like thinking about what the optimal move is for your opponent.
Be all about the amount of steps that he took. Like, if he was actually thinking that far, you know, that advanced, maybe he just takes one step off of where he was standing and says, I'm walking that way if you don't make a decision and come with me. But he decided to walk all the way down. Like, we could analyze that entire scene if we wanted to.
Well, I think he started walking to signal the message, you know, speak now or forever hold your peace. And again, I don't mean to make it sound like I'm trying to defend Zach being the one who was playing this correctly, and it's just bad luck that Amanda was so stubborn, because it's definitely not the case. I just am saying the clear move in game theory terms is to be the person who your partner has to come to the has no choice but to come to the conclusion, okay, this person is not switching, I have to switch myself.
Well, I think what's even crazier is, didn't we end up in a position where there was three votes on Bananas and Tony, three votes on Ashley and Hunter, and then also three votes on Devon and Jose?
No, and it was just one or two.
Was it? Because
because they had the power vote, so the three votes had gone on to both of those teams, like you mentioned, and then the two votes went on to Devon and Jose, so they would have needed one more to go on to Devon and Jose for them to have been an option.
Gotcha.
I don't know if they, but, and that's the thing, because I think going into that challenge, going into that vote, they thought that they had Devon and Jose, but Bananas and Tony had gotten in that work, you know, earlier and more effectively, and they got Jose and Devon to vote with them against Hunter and Ashley, rather than where, you know, the other alliance thought that Devon and Jose were going to be voting. So Devon and Jose having more impact than we've even given them credit for to this point.
2018 is real, kids. Yeah. So, all right. I guess let's get into, we touched on the second mercenaries coming in when we hit on the first mercenaries coming in. But let's just quickly get to that challenge and the one where they had to jump on the ropes essentially as they came to learn, after trying to shake the things off wasn't working. And we saw that for Amanda and for Devon, that getting that, whatever they were calling them, that marker off that was closest to them was not going to happen. And we're up against Corey and Devin here. Now, obviously, the producers don't know who is going to be participating necessarily in the elimination on that given night, but they do know that it's going to be Corey and Devin participating. And this is, it seems like this is going to come down to body weight and upper body strength, this challenge. I know we've already touched on the just overall unfairness and male bias in the challenges on the challenge. So is this just something that falls in line with that? Or, as may be the case for me, is this some potential deliberate game design to make sure that Corey and Devin are going to have an edge over against pretty much anyone they could be competing against, Ligori?
I don't even know if it's deliberate just for these two. I think it's just the way that they've designed challenges at this point, like we keep saying, have just all been so heavily in favor of the males. I think it's just they probably didn't even think going into that challenge that teams were going to end up jumping on the ropes every time. The way that they explained it was just that, you know, you would be on the rope and you'd have to shake it with all of your might to get these things to fall off. And obviously, you know, the challengers are always going to find a way to outsmart the challenges if they can so that they can, you know, do it more effectively. But you saw the way that the results went down with Amanda and Devon. Both could not get that final marker off, the one that was closest to them. And it's, you know, it's not a coincidence that they both had the trouble with the same exact one. It's just, it was not something that they were ever going to be able to beat these two big, strong guys at. So it's, you know, it's really annoying to see things happen like that when that's the case. You know, again, this season doesn't have many flaws, in my opinion, but this is one of the flaws, the fact that they just, it seemed like never had a chance to win that one.
Well, actually, one thing we should address that is now making me wonder if maybe my conspiracy theory is a little perhaps less likely to be true, is it, I believe, had Ashley and Hunter or had Corey and Devin lost their challenge that they ended up winning that got them their spot in the main game, they wouldn't just go back home, because my thought was, why would you bring, like, they're not bringing Devin and Corey out and then running the risk of them just immediately going back home too often, I would imagine. And that's why I thought they would want a challenge they would be well suited at. But it sounded to me like even if any of these mercenary teams had lost, they would have just gone to the Redemption House and still been able to compete potentially and get back into the game. Scally, is that correct as far as we know?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think that, I mean, they brought back, you know, Frank and Darrell and Laurel all for a one episode little stint. So I don't think there's any reason to assume that's why they would have rigged it for Corey and Devin, of all people.
But that, I mean, they went in knowing that it was, no matter what, it was only going to be one episode, whereas I didn't think they would put it on the line, okay, Corey and Devin, you can maybe win your way in or maybe be back in America in 3 days. I didn't think that seemed too realistic. And and it makes sense now that it was never on the table.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, I had the same thought as you, where it was suspicious that it was the same, you know, marker hanging on for both of them. A little, you know, behind the scenes, originally, actually, as they alluded to, Devin was going to be partners with Bananas. And I believe this second mercenary team was going to be Tony and the mother of his child, Madison, who was on The Real World with him. So that almost happened and we missed out on that. But which probably would have been, you know, a more fair match for these male-female teams. But I think I came around to, I don't think this was rigged. I think that they won fair and square, even though they kind of figured out a workaround in jumping onto the ropes rather than shaking them.
Yeah. I just think it was a substantial disadvantage for the people who were 120 pounds.
Yes.
That seems like not necessarily a level playing field there. So, Ligori, what else from right around here have we been – did we skip over anything?
Not nothing that nothing too crazy, you know. So we got Corey and Devin back. Corey's telling us that he's back for his daughter. Devin, it was nice to see the show acknowledge, you know, the Devin thing about how he was here, and you know, gave him a little bit of a touching moment to say, you know, I'm here for my dad now. I'm gonna, you know, fight for him. And you know, if they're gonna come in this late in the game with no storyline, at least we get to see, you know, I guess reasons that they're there. I don't know, but. So, I mean, I guess this is kind of getting now into where we're currently at, which is, you know, the most recent episode. And now we have, you know, more Lavender Ladies drama. We have Corey and Devin, like we said, being brought in to that alliance to go against Tony and Banana. So, yeah, it's pretty much, you know, we're caught up to speed now.
Yeah. So we had I feel like, as I mentioned earlier, I've been liking this whole Bananas as the clear underdog kind of story. And like, to me, it's far more satisfying seeing Bananas win on a weekly kind of, you know, the weekly main matches when I know he actually needs it versus it feeling almost inevitable, like he was safe anyway, and now he just has even more power than he already has. Bananas fighting with his life on the line, I think, is a lot more compelling than Bananas, the clear front runner. And we see this week, even when Bananas is able to win the challenge for himself, the Lavender Ladies and Young Bucks just have such control of the house, they're still able to send his only ally, Cara Maria and Marie, in to the Armageddon elimination. Scally, we talked earlier, and I brought this up as a fake fight of the year candidate between Sylvia and Marie, but what did you make just in general of how Marie handled this just by process of elimination here? Because I did think that it would, she had some fair counterpoints that people seemed like almost too okay. It seemed like they weren't even trying to ease her into the idea of going into the elimination. Like, it was almost obviously, Marie, we're going to send you in, and that maybe isn't the easiest pill to swallow, but perhaps you felt like she was overreacting a bit.
I don't know if Scally heard all that because he was muted, so okay. I feel like maybe I'll just answer. Scally, did you hear any of that?
Or? I did not, so I'll just
okay, ask, so yeah, we're just talking about Marie, about how I think we saw a lot of setup for the past few episodes about how Marie has felt like she's been on the outs. It kind of, you know, she saw this coming. She has Cara as her partner. Cara is very clearly in with Tony. With Bananas, which, you know, is with Tony. And the Lavender Ladies have just been like the main theme of this season. The fact that they reunited, which, first of all, I just have to say, I don't remember any of this Lavender Ladies deal going on back when they say that it started on Invasion. I, you know, watched the whole season probably twice at this point. I just don't remember even hearing the phrase Lavender Ladies before.
I assumed, you know, I missed it. I was like, I'm going to get in trouble if I claim that I don't know what that is.
No, so I don't remember it at all. I mean, I knew that these girls were friends, and, you know, Shane was in with them, and there was like one episode that I can remember of them coming together. I just don't remember ever hearing the phrase Lavender Ladies. But like I said, that's been like the theme of this season. Like, if they've been reunited, now the Young Bucks are reunited. So I think, you know, there's a lot on the line when Bananas is the one who is in trouble here. That's why this episode was so good, because, you know, even though the challenge took up so much of the time, it was like, all right, well, is Bananas going to go home, or is he going to go in, or is he not? That's what we were going up against, and I guess the rest of the season might end up being that as well, especially if Cara and Marie go out. Marie has she did the best that she could. She at least gave us, you know, some bombs dropped on the bridges, as she was saying on her way out. So at least we got some good TV from you know, there was not much she could do game wise.
Yeah, Scally, has Marie been delivering for you overall this season?
Yeah, I'm so fickle. I love Marie now. I don't know what happened. Like, when you see the same people come back over and over, and I'm not usually one to fall for the underdog story on a show like Survivor or Big Brother, but on the challenge, like, it's just inevitable, because I'm going to see the other people back next time. Like, I want the story of it going back and forth. And you guys said you're rooting for Cara and Maria. Like, why am I rooting for Marie? Like, is that why my allegiance is going? So wow. I don't, I'm enjoying Marie, and I am enjoying what she brings to the season, which I didn't think I would be so enthusiastic about saying.
Yeah. Hey, you've become a Mariever. Well. Believe. All right. That's no good.
That was bad. It's a good thing. It's a good thing you said that one quick. I'm on board though. I agree. I think she's brought what she, you know, she's on there for the drama, and she's added a little bit more than we would have expected from her this season, you know, getting into the emotional side of, you know, we don't see a lot of people on the challenge look at Kara as a good human being. Everybody hates her all the time. They want her horses to die. They think that she's fake and all this stuff. And that's just the theme of, like, going back to, like, every season Cara Maria has been on. So it's nice to see somebody that's like, look, I got close to Cara this season. I have developed a relationship with her, and she's not a bad person. And I really like her now, and she's one of my friends. So it was, like, really touching.
Yeah. Very, very emotional. I mean, going into her first elimination, it'll be, I think episode 16 is going to be the first time Maria is going to be into her first elimination of the season. Got to be a career best, right? She's made it pretty far for Marie, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the farther she can get without, like, having to be, you know, put inside one of those elimination boxes, like, where she literally had to break her way out of a box, like, good for her.
Yeah. All right. So what more on – I guess we are awaiting the battle between Cara Maria and Marie and Nelson and Shane. And actually, just one call I want to make, and this is kind of like – Colin Stone reads the edit of the challenge, but not really, because I don't know anything that I'm talking about, but it only is ever with Nelson in particular. And I guess now, knowing that he is 8-1 in career in eliminations, this makes a lot more sense that he would have a lot more kind of cocky confessionals. But the one kind of tell that I feel like I can pick up on is, obviously, the confessionals about the elimination are taped after the elimination takes place. Like, Nelson only knows that he's facing off against Cara Maria and Marie and gets to talk about it after he knows the result of that competition. And I feel like at the confessionals at the end of this episode, Nelson is just way too cocky to be saying those kinds of things had he lost this elimination. So I'm very nervous about Cara Maria and Marie.
Yeah, and I mean, the Cara and Marie confessionals always seem like, yeah, like, what were we going to do? Like you see what we had in front of us, so I can totally buy into what you're saying.
Yeah, so that and I promise not to bring up any other kind of edit takes, because I have none, but Nelson's overconfident confessionals that we know get taped afterwards always feel like tipping things pretty strongly to me, whether it's a main match or an elimination. But I guess let's get into some kind of forecasting. Scally, as things stand right now, how are you seeing this play out? I guess, you know, regardless of, like, I'm not asking for individual competition winners, but long-term politically and, like, eventual winner picks, who are you looking at?
Well, I think, you know, on paper, Bananas and Tony look like a really strong team, but at the top of that alliance, you got to have, you know, Ashley Hunter and Nelson Shane. Joss and Sylvia and Corey and Devin are kind of on similar ground for me, in that either one of them really could be the next one as a target if Bananas and Tony win safety. But if you're putting me on the spot.
Well, plus we're getting, you know, two redemption teams back. So it's like, it's so hard to tell with those guys. And then if, you know, if numbers come right back in for Banana side and Shane and Nelson are now out of the house, say we have like a Natalie, Paulie, Cara and Marie come back in the house with Tony and Banana still there. Like, I think we're either even with the numbers or like very close to it.
That's fair. I mean, if I'm looking at story wise and who has a good shot, I think I'm probably putting money on Nelson and Shane at this point.
Yeah, I'm into that pick, and that was not a team that I had too high up my rankings preseason, although I certainly had them in there with a shot. I remember saying, just by virtue of being one of the male teams, it seemed like was probably, just knowing the challenges they tend to run, going to be pretty helpful, and it seems like that has definitely been coming in. And you are right, it seems like both of them are getting a really decent story at the very least, and solid visibility, and it seems like they're performing well, and most importantly potentially really coming together as a cohesive team. Like, Nelson described them in the most recent episode as like almost like boyfriends now, and I think that's exactly what you want to see out of people at this point in the game, when I think it's going to be, you know, having a team that works together is going to be so important. I mean, look at what happens when you're the Zach and Amanda pair.
Yes.
Yeah. LaGuardia, how about you? What are you thinking about? Just who's your winner pick, I guess, at this point?
I don't know if it's just, you know, because it's bananas, but I have a hard time not putting my money on Bananas and Tony at this point. We saw in the last main challenge that, you know, the two of them, you know, it was only by like 30 seconds, but they won that one. I think considering there's still two teams left in there that do have a female on them. So if we're talking about how these challenges are all favored against the females, you know, if even if Bananas and Tony end up in there, they're going to pick the team probably that has a female on it. And if the challenges are the same way, then they're probably going to take them out. And once you get Bananas and Tony to a final, you know, Bananas has been struggling in the past few seasons with making it even to a final. Yeah, he hasn't hit a final since he last won, but he had a strong partner by his side during that season, and that's the exact case for this season. So my money would have to be on those two at this point.
Okay, I'm definitely with the Nelson and Shane and Bananas and Tony calls as certainly being my front runners at this point. But I would say another team that I've been getting pretty good vibes from that I'd be curious to hear what kind of shot you thought they had is actually one of the teams with a female on it is Ashley and Hunter. I feel like I've been looking pretty good and getting along at least all right for the most part. What have you been thinking about their chances long term, Scally?
I think, again, on paper, I think they look great. I think that they're well balanced. Hunter can, you know, put his head down. Even though we saw Ashley do it before, Hunter can put his head down and run straight through a wall. Ashley's good at puzzles and stuff like that, as well as the physical competition. So I think they're in good shape going into a final. I just don't know if I've seen the story there. Granted, they weren't on half the season, but I don't know if they've had enough going on in order for me to say, yeah, they're going to win the season.
Right.
Yeah, and don't forget that, like, there was some drama between the two of them back when, you know, Ashley was hooking up with Kyle and then Hunter found out about it. And then the two of them were like, Ashley was off crying in a corner because she's like, I can never work with Hunter. I can never trust him. So my only worry about them is that if they do get to a final and Ashley goes off on this whole I can't work with Hunter again thing, like, at least when she won her season, she got to work with like three different partners over the course of that final. So even if there was like one she wasn't getting along with, there was, you know, two other spots she could link up with somebody, but she stuck with Hunter all the way to the end here. So I think that that is that team's only obstacle.
Yeah, and I would also say, obviously the story has not been there because they have not been on the show. I would say Corey and Devin, as soon as they got on the show, we got some backstory that one of you guys mentioned about Devin with his dad and Corey with his new daughter. Although conspicuously absent was a Cheyenne reference. Hey, by the way, the mom is Cheyenne, who every viewer would know. But let's not mention that. I feel like these two could definitely be in there with a chance to win. And I feel like puzzle ability is going to be a big piece in any kind of final. And we saw Devin give that great quote about how he wants a little cardio and a big puzzle. And I don't think that's going to be the recipe in a final, but I do think that he's going to be able to hold it down for Corey, who famously in that invasion final was just taking half-hour penalty after half-hour penalty because he couldn't put a damn puzzle together. Yeah. I feel like these two have got to be in there with a solid shot as well.
Yeah, I feel bad for Devin. I was watching like an Instagram story that he was doing yesterday, and he was saying, you know, he's been getting so much crap from people because they're like, man, you're so weak. How do you keep going back out there? You're so much weaker than these guys. And he's like, well, do you see the people that I'm up against, like Tony, Bananas, like these strong guys, Corey, Nelson, like they're all beasts. And he's like, I'm doing the best I can. He's like, I've been working out, training in between seasons. And he's like, up against my normal group of friends, I can kill them all in every single, I can outrun them. I can out puzzle them, whatever. He's like, you know, just these guys, he has such a hard time getting over because they're all so strong. So yeah, feel bad for him on that front.
I mean, yeah, the guys who are competitive every season on the challenge, like Bananas and CT and I think like Joss is the one who said this in some confessional where he's like, he works out like three times a day and you just can't compete with that.
No.
Yeah.
Devin's doing his best. It's just it's going to be I love Devin. I just still have a hard time seeing him winning a season, you know, pulling out the athletics in a final, soon. I don't know if he needs some of these bigger guys to stop coming back or what he needs. But I mean, maybe this is like a perfect balance with Corey's muscle and Devin's brain.
Right. So, yeah. Or like another example, like Cara Maria or Nicole Z and Darrell, like all just own gyms to like work out full time, like training for the challenge is their job.
Yes.
Sorry.
And Devin's
I had to hammer
just
that
running
point
in the forest
a little harder.
Every day. Yes.
Well, I would say if you put Devin on back in, you know, in the era that Shane and Veronica come from early on, Devin's probably in, you know, just as good a shape, if not better than the majority of competitors. It's just that the level, like the standard for the males on these seasons has raised so greatly that Devin's just out of his league.
All right. Anything that we skipped over from this current season, Ligori, before we – I'm told there are some names that have been floating around for the next season that I was not to look into we may be able to get into a little bit.
Yeah, until we forgot to tell Scally about that, and then he started talking about him.
I only saw one name, and then I averted my eyes.
I think we're just about good with this season. I don't know if you want to just jump right into the cast for 30.
Spoiler alert, by the way, is what I would say before we do the season 33 rumored cast list. And I would also put out the disclaimer that it seems like every time there's a rumored cast list, it's maybe 80% right, but there are definitely going to be some people we talk about that will not be on this show, I would imagine.
Yeah, and then there's plenty of people who we don't have on the list because they're not confirmed yet. And then, you know, when they fly out, I think they're actually supposed to fly out on Monday because the reunion's filming this weekend, and then they usually leave, like, right after that. So, you know, they should be out, like, next week, and then we'll know for sure. But, you know, we have something to work with.
All right. So I guess hit me with it. What are we looking at for season 33?
We're in the spoiler zone. We don't have any kind of fancy buzzer or song or anything like that over here.
Unfortunately not. This is a low-budget production.
There's some exciting names coming up on this 33 cast. And, you know, we have to, you know, be very careful in getting excited because we know, you know, there was the whole Landon drama for this season where it seemed like it was almost confirmed that Landon was going to be out there. He was on the list. And then next thing you know, he was not there.
But he was on the list. Why wasn't he there?
I don't know. I'm still not happy about it. Some of the, you know, lesser exciting names that are still, like, we haven't seen them in a while. It looks like Anissa's coming back. It looks like a late addition that I just saw this morning, Ammo, is back in the list.
Wow.
I don't know how that happened. I don't know if people are asking for that. I don't know if I was asking for that.
Can I quickly ask, are people asking for Anissa? I feel like Anissa is one of the people where she's like a challenge lifer that I really wonder if it's been worth her time.
She's getting the paychecks, and I enjoy her. I'm still an Anissa fan. I don't know, you know, I'm never expecting her to win, but I still enjoy seeing her back.
Right. I understand she's getting the paychecks, but I'm wondering if spending 15 years doing the challenge for a never even close to first place paycheck is worth the opportunity cost of what else she could have been doing with those 15 years.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know how old she is, but like she's still she went back to school, like she's still studying and whatnot. So I don't know if she's like maybe eventually working towards that or if she's just studying on the side. But I don't know. We'll get into that in our Anissa deep dive one day.
Sure. Who else do we have?
I guess we'll go to the big names. It seems like Wes might be back for the first time in a while, which is the one that Scally told you about.
I didn't see that. No, I did not see that.
All right. Well, Wes might be back. We haven't seen Wes since, it was before Rivals when Bananas and Sarah won. It's been a while.
Yeah, Scally, I'm a big Wes fan, so I'm very excited for that. Thank you, Scally, for trying to spoil me on that. I would have loved to have known yesterday.
If you guys had just written in the group chat rather than.
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the last time we saw him was Rivals 3, which is extremely far back.
Yeah, it's been a little while. And then another name who is pretty exciting, the return of Nani.
Wow.
Nani, very exciting. In the mix here. I was listening to Jenna on the Challenge Mania podcast recently, and she was talking about how Nani is recently single, and she's just ready to get back in there. So I can't imagine that this is the same kind of thing as like a Landon, because it's, you know, we're hearing directly from one of her best friends that she's interested in coming back. So if Nani wants to come back, I see no reason why they wouldn't have her back. And she's on this list. So we could potentially see Nani back as early as next season. And that's very exciting to me.
Totally down with that. I hope Teresa is a name that you're going to get to later.
No, I would love to have given you that name, but I'm sure you might have seen at some point Teresa is pregnant, expecting our next child. I'm sure I updated you on that.
Who isn't pregnant right now? Can I get a list of names of people that are not pregnant?
I've given you a pretty solid list of the people who are, and Teresa was just recently added to that list. She's expecting her next child.
Okay.
Other names to just rattle it off. I wrote Bandana instead of Bananas. Bananas obviously will be back. Kyle, Leroy should be coming back here. Nelson, Paulie, Zach, you know, all these names that you expect. Faith is on here. Kara, Jenna, Cam, Kaylee, which is unfortunate. And then two names that are pretty new. I don't know how familiar you are because I don't remember how much you watched of the Big Brother 19, but we have Josh Martinez on here.
I watched the entirety of Big Brother 19. And so that is the name that I saw Scally spoil, and that surprised the hell out of me. And I understand why a casting director would look at Josh on his season of Big Brother 19 and say, okay, I could see some value in having that guy on the challenge. And I'm not even necessarily not looking forward to Josh on if he does end up on a season of the challenge, but it would make far more sense to me than having Jose, for instance, on. The story checks out far more than hearing Jose rumored the first time I heard that. But I don't know if Josh is going to be able to hang with these kinds of people. The same way we were just talking about Devin, I think he could be entertaining, but I don't see a timeline where Josh is in there genuinely able to compete against people like Bananas and Tony and Zach and Nelson and so on.
For sure. I don't know. Like, Scally, I don't know where you come down on this, but I've seen that, like, Josh has been posting that he's been, you know, running and he's been working out. He's been in the gym. He's been trying to get ready, but I don't know what level of prepared he's going to be compared to the rest of these guys.
Has he been doing that for the last 7 years? Because if not,
No. Not at all.
Now, Josh lost weight coming out of the Big Brother house. Like, good for him. But again, like Devin, it's not on the level that these other guys are. I even more so than that. I mean, Josh cried on the first night of Big Brother 19. He's probably already crying 5 days before the challenge. So I don't see any way that Josh is just not crying the entire first episode and then goes home.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only like positive that you could look for in his potential game is just the fact that like he's probably smart enough to link up with like one of the stronger players. Like he might just like go over to Bananas and sell himself as like, I will be on your side. Because if he's following along now and sees that, you know, Bananas has no friends in the house, maybe he just goes up to him and says like, listen, I'll be a vote for you. I have not a whole lot to offer here. So I don't know if he's thinking on that terms of game level. Like if you saw his Big Brother 19 game, you know that he's not the most strategic person in terms of playing a game. But I don't know. Maybe he's learned a lot since then. Maybe he's grown a little bit. It'll be interesting to see. It's just nothing I would have expected.
Are there other Big Brother names on this list?
I mean, Paulie and Natalie, but you know, that's not okay, but, new. But nobody,
not
nobody
and Jose as well. Like I'm essentially wondering.
They're both Devon and Jose are listed. There's like another section of this list, which comes from Vevmo, of people who like got availability calls, but they aren't like confirmed to be on. Devon, Jose, and also Morgan Willett are on this list. Morgan is currently filming X on the Beach 2 with a couple other Big Brother people, like Corey is on there. Somebody who I guarantee you would never know the name of, Monty from Big Brother Over the Top, is apparently on that season, which is the strangest thing in the world. But apparently Morgan got a call, so we'll see. Any of these names could also pop in.
So it does seem though like a Big Brother invasion is essentially continuing to happen as far as I can tell, where it seems like the Big Brother people, in once they get inside the house, are going to probably have a tendency to stick together. And to me, when Scally so cruelly spoiled that Josh would be a name that was being rumored, my thought was, it seems like they're trying to throw Big Brother people a bone almost and have more names in that mix and have almost a new side to the house of Big Brother alums, which I think could be cool. And it will never stop blowing my mind having these obscure Big Brother people from years ago put onto seasons of the challenge. But if it's working, I'm totally down with it. And so far, it seems like it's working.
Yeah, it's like a whole new era now that, you know, the Big Brother 20 cast is coming out now, and it's not just like, oh, when are we going to get our shot back on Big Brother again? We want to play that again. Like, they just have to start preparing for the challenge because the call could come in at any time. And, you know, not immediately for these 20ers who just came out of the house, but, you know, this is season 33 that's about to start filming. I would not be surprised to see some of them make their way into 34.
Jesse Godder's missed his calling. He really should have been first to transition from Big Brother to the challenge.
How long would he even have lasted? Like, is his social game going to carry him? Because, you know, are all those muscles even, like, real? Like,
did you not see Jesse Godder's on BB11? He was a changed man, my friend.
It's been a while. It's been a long time.
He was crushing BB11 until they just took it away from him.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, anyway. Who else are we looking at?
That's pretty much – it's not a very long list. It's pretty much everybody that I just said. I don't know – I can't remember if you watch Are You the One or not.
I've watched this season and the one before this one.
Okay, so Taylor was on season 5. Very, very awful person. You know, MTV seems to like her because she brings, you know, some drama, but she's not a good person. She was on X on the Beach first season, and it seems like they're, you know, holding on tight to her and bringing her back for the challenge. Scally, you don't, you know, you're with me, right?
I'm not a fan. Just to elaborate on that, she spit on someone on the first season of on the Beach. She had racist tweets come back up from her past. Like, I have no need for Taylor on this. Like, I don't know why this is the direction, you know, bringing Kaylee, bringing Taylor, like, just get them off my screen. Where's Melissa? Like, why is this happening?
Yeah. Like, there's fun train wrecks out there. We don't need to keep going back to, like, the racist and, you know, the ones who want to out people on social media. We have other options.
Yeah.
And then I don't know the other names that are coming up is like they got availability calls. Angela possibly could be there. Nicole Z her name was on there, but I think I saw her say somewhere that she wasn't going to make it. I know she's got all this stuff with the fire department going on. I don't know. And then Chad Johnson, Bachelor alum, who really, really I would love to see on this show. He's also one of the guys on X on the Beach right now. And I know Colin's not a very big Bachelor guy, but this guy, you'll want to see him on your screen.
I know who Chad from The Bachelor is. That's how much he has permeated the zeitgeist.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm hoping he makes it on. And then Joss, I don't know. It says, but I guess just to wrap this up, people who are on the list of not going to likely be on the season, Brad, Corey, and Shane are all listed as will likely not be there.
Anyone breaking your heart out of that group, Scally?
I mean, you know, I'm a big Brad guy at this point, but no, I can live for a season.
It's just crazy to me that, like, if it's true about Shane not being there, like, Shane finally just emerged out of his cocoon of, like, he's been so quiet since they brought him back, and now he's finally, like, one of the biggest characters on the season, and now he's not going to be back. So that's kind of crazy to me, but it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, do we know what the theme is on that season? Do we have any rumors about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so what I would say, it looks like they're taking, you know, a new version on Fresh Meat, where rather than relying on complete randoms, they are injecting like a full new life into the challenge and bringing in potentially, you know, half challenge vets and half new blood who have all been on like past reality shows, whether it's, you know, US, UK, or online in case of BBOTT, then pairing them up with the vets in the style of Fresh Meat or Bloodlines.
Okay. That should be interesting.
Yeah, and I guess for the record, there were some other names on there that I've just never seen their shows. So, Scally, I don't know if you saw anybody else that excited you, but nobody else I recognized, even though there were more names.
Yeah, no. I mean, I've seen, you know, clips of some people. I mean, I know they reached out as far as, like, Asia's Next Top Model. So yeah. They are really looking for the best TV they can find. Which is exciting, I guess.
Yeah, no, that theme combined with this group of people sounds like it should be a lot of fun, and I'm sure we will get about a 6-week break between this season and that one starting, and that will run us into late 2020 or so.
Yes. Yeah, I think I don't think that there's any Champs versus Stars coming up to go in the middle of the seasons, but I would assume that maybe like X on the Beach is going to be what we end up with between now and then the start of the next one. And the start of the next one seems to be coming around like the start of the new year. I feel like every time that Vendetta started like early January. So yeah, it's the season's not even over yet, and the new one's probably going to start airing.
Wow. All right. Well, that should be a lot of fun, I'm sure. We will have a lot more to talk about once we know more on that front and start seeing it play out. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything from either of you that we should get to before we start wrapping up?
Not so much on my end. I mean, you know, we're not really here every week to talk about this stuff, but I would assume that if anybody's listening to this, you're already listening to Brian and Allie's coverage over on, you know, RHAP. They have been killing it this season. Allie, I think, has been really enjoying the season, especially like the past few episodes. So I've been enjoying greatly listening to what she's had to say. Also, I've been listening to a podcast called This Changes Everything, which is a friend of the Big Brother coverage. Hoodie Allen and his brother do some challenge podcasts each week. They're pretty short, like a half hour, 45 minutes. So, you know, if you're missing, you know, or if you're looking for some more challenge to listen to or some more podcasts to listen to, because the season has been so good, both of those, make sure you're checking them out.
Definitely. Ligori, where can people be finding you on social media and the stuff that you are putting out as Big Brother seasons and Survivor seasons are rolling on?
Pretty much just on Twitter, at Matt Ligori. Big Brother season is temporarily on hiatus, so hopefully we'll, you know, get back into that with Celebrity Big Brother, and that'll be fun. But, you know, Survivor is going on right now, and I've been doing my my blog over on robinswebsite.com. So if you're not checking that out, definitely check that out. It's no more power rankings, but a different kind of format that I've been really enjoying and been getting some good feedback on. So check that out.
Excellent. All right. And Scally, how about you?
I am at Brian_Scally on both Twitter and Instagram, but definitely Twitter is more active on there.
Yeah, if you guys missed the Summer of Scally, scroll through and you will see some real treats for your Big Brother viewers out there in particular. But of course, all of that rolling on with Survivor now, David versus Goliath going on. I'm sure the autumn of Scally is just beginning. Thank you guys once again so much for coming on the show. It was such a good time getting to talk to both of you. And as mentioned at the top, always such a treat getting to talk about the challenge. I am on Twitter at Colin Stone. Dom, who is not on the Challenge podcast but is my normal co-host when we're talking about pretty much anything else, is at DomHRV, and you can email us domandcolin@gmail.com. Thank you guys all who have made it this far for checking us out. We will talk to you very soon. Take care, everybody.